All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
People say I ain't no good, and I'm crazy as a loon. Cause I shave my head in the morning, pick guitar in the afternoon. Just like old Chief and Charlie, I like to lay around in the shade. Well, I ain't got no money, but you better believe I got it made. Cause I ain't asking nobody for nothing if I can't get it on my own. If you don't like the way I'm living, just leave this bald-headed country boy alone.
What's up, folks? Thank y'all for tuning into the Josh Terry Podcast. We are in Nashville. It's my first show of the year up here, outside of the rounds, of course. And I am excited because I've been trying to set this show up for the longest time. And we decided a long time ago we wasn't going to do this shit through Zoom. Oh, yeah. We was going to wait till we could drink together, hang out together, bullshit together.
Hell yeah.
And we lined up doing the Raising Grace rounds together. So one of my friends, one of the guys that I actually love watching his videos and hanging out with this dude, Mr. Ori, the cornbread cowboy, the coolest motherfucker on social media to me.
Hell yeah.
What's up, Bubba?
What's up, man? Dude, hey, favorite sound in the world? Right there.
Pop
dude.
It.
Pop Cheers, the top man. Again. Cheers to you, man.
Dude,
thanks for having me on, man. Like I said, I know we've talked a long time ago about doing this, but you know, when it comes to podcasts and stuff, I like to feel the energy of the person, whether I met them before or not, and sit in a room with them. I don't like to do the Zoom shit. Yeah. I know that was kind of normalized during COVID and stuff, but it's good to be here with you in Nashville, Tennessee, buddy.
Well, when I got to meet you, I was telling somebody the other day, when I first saw your videos, like, I don't know if you had just started doing TikTok or Instagram, whatever it was.
Yeah.
But I was like, this dude is going to blow the fuck up. Like, I thought it was just funny as shit.
Yeah.
Like, by the way, Walker Wilson's doing cameras today. Walt, thank you.
What up, baby? How we doing?
Yeah. Walker, before we even start running our mouths, because you're like young Walker, like a knockoff of Joe Rogan's Jamie.
Man, I like to be original, so we can stick with Walk, whatever you want to do. I like to be original. I can't take his style.
Tell them real fast your social media real fast and everything so they can look you up in your shitty music.
My shitty music. Walker Wilson music. Walker like the Texas Ranger. Wilson like the volleyball.
Yeah, he has a residency at Ole Red.
I don't know if I'd call it a residency.
You
but
play
it's
there
shit.
Normally.
I do. I play there every Tuesday.
Yeah, he's actually one of my favorite people. I love Walker. Thank you for coming running cameras today, sir.
You're welcome, brother.
First time I started seeing your stuff, dude, I was a fan. And then me and you connected, started bullshitting and talking. And I love the fact we didn't do it through Zoom. I do. And then when we've actually got to be around each other and bullshit, I was like, I cannot wait till we get a chance to actually be somewhere at the same time, music involved, our friends involved, because I know it's going to be some good content. It's going to be some fun. It's going to be good. You're good at this shit. I knew you was going to be good at this shit. I didn't realize how good you were going to be. Seeing some of the stuff you've got to do has been fun for me. Like, to watching you get to do some shit, dude.
Man, I ain't going to lie to you. I appreciate the hell out of it. Out of you and what you're saying, because I remember when I first was getting starting out, kind of like just doing social media, you know, or TikToks or whatever, and just kind of messing around, having fun. And I remember I found you on there and I followed you, and you gave me like a shout out on like one of your podcasts, and you did it again. I remember I was with my mom somewhere, and I showed her to her. I was like, this guy right here, you hear this? He's giving a shout out to Cornbread Cowboy. And you're like, oh, he don't have that many followers yet or anything, but I think I love his stuff. I was like, man, dude, and I really appreciate that. And things like that made me want to keep doing it. Because like I said, I never set out to do this professionally or to be famous or anything. I just thought, you know, there wasn't enough of this kind of humor out there in the world. You know, when you turn on Netflix, whatever, you didn't really see anything representing the blue collar or that kind of humor, the old school country or whatever it may be. And you definitely noticed it, and you gave me a shout out, and that encouraged me. Things like that, moments like that, made me be like, hey, you know, maybe I'll post more than once a week or doing this or that. And I just kept doing it, and the ball kept rolling, and a lot of good things happened. It's took me a lot of places I'd never thought I'd be, you know.
Well, you can tell uniqueness. I'll say this. There's two people I've met off of social media that you just saw the super uniqueness as far as marketing goes. You and Demps. Yeah. And I've had both of y'all on the show now. Like, I had Demps before. She had close to a million. This is probably 2-3 years ago I had Demps on. And you can see it with her. You can see it with her the same way I saw it with you.
Yeah.
And it's not like I am like some guru or anything.
Yeah, but
you can just see, like, damn, they've got the piece that everybody's missing.
They got some.
They've got it to where somebody, if they know what the fuck they're doing, is gonna be like, oh, they're gonna fucking kill it. Let's throw something at them and let's see if it sticks.
Hey, we just getting started over here, buddy.
Oh, dude. Well, it's the stuff that you post. There's no negativity that can really be behind it,
yeah.
To where like it can really piss somebody. Like, it, you can tell there's such humor. So like, I was listening to a podcast yesterday, and it was Bill Murray and Joe Rogan.
Oh, I want to see that.
It's horrible.
Really?
Okay. I love Bill Murray.
Is it like, bad?
It's so bad.
Ooh.
I'm a huge Bill Murray fan, first off.
Yeah.
But I have so much respect for Joe Rogan. Like, I love Joe Rogan. Bill Murray doesn't even know who Joe Rogan is. I thought it was a gimmick to start off with. But it's okay. Like, it's a different generation.
For sure.
You can tell Bill doesn't care.
Yeah, exactly.
But also, it's Bill Murray. Bill Murray's allowed to not know who Joe Rogan is.
Yeah.
It's okay. It's out of his realm. It's fine. It does, like, it's not a, he's not being disrespectful by that, right?
Yeah. I don't see Bill Murray type of guy who wakes up and checks his phone and see who he's following. He just puts on a vinyl record of like Rolling Stones and makes himself a Bloody Mary. He's probably heard of the name Joe. Oh, the UFC guy. He probably doesn't know all about. I get that.
Well, Bill Murray's even famous for like doing such weird shit, for like showing up to like random weddings.
Yeah, in Charleston. So in Charleston, I'm from South Carolina. Yeah. In Charleston, South Carolina, I've never met him there, but I go there a lot, and I've heard all so many stories. He'll pop in a bar, he'll pop in somebody's party, a wedding party, a bachelorette party, whatever, and just hang out and shoot the shit.
But the point of that, what I was trying to get to, is. And that was me. I got confused as shit.
We circle back, buddy.
Oh, this always how Trump does on that, whatever call it, the chase,
the web,
The web. When he's like telling a story and it fucking veers and veers and veers till he gets back to the point.
Yeah.
Like with you, Walker, what was the fucking point?
You're talking about the uniqueness of, like, you said you met Demps, me, and you know, you're talking about doing podcasts and how like.
I think your point is authenticity.
That's
the word that was in my head.
Yeah, that's what it is. See, I hadn't taken my Adderall today.
Yeah,
if
man.
I was drugged up right now, baby, we'd be good to go.
Hey, it is what it is.
Thank you, Walker.
You're welcome.
No, like, you can tell with certain people, you got something else to offer. So, like, there's nothing behind your stuff to where it's so genuine that you can tell that the jokes you make and the stuff that you say, that there's no malice behind it. To where, like, there's certain people that make a joke that you're like, is that backhanded? Is that a backhanded comment? With you, it's so obvious that it's funny.
Yeah.
Like, it's you not taking a backhanded comment. There's some stuff that I say that people are like, he's a dick.
Yeah.
And they don't realize,
man,
like, I'm a dick.
I'm a big teddy bear,
yeah,
man.
It works.
I like
so
to
well.
Bring joy to people. It's like a high to me. You know, it's just like when I was going to school. I remember the teachers hated me but loved me because I make them laugh too. Yeah. I interrupt the class and make everybody laugh, but I make them laugh too, and so they never was mad at me. Yeah. And I just kind of just always been that guy, you know, even at work and jobs, you know, all them construction days, you know, they're serious about showing up on time. I'd show up late, but I'd make the guys laugh at work. So when they went to lay everybody off, they would keep me on the job for, like, morale. So I've just kind of always been this guy, I guess.
It tickled me the other day when I saw your high school football pictures.
Oh, yeah.
Me and you are so much alike.
Yeah.
It is stupid.
Yeah.
We have – I'm not going to say you. I've aged like shit.
Oh, dude.
Anyway, shut up, Walker. Walker, you should not be nodding your fucking head that much.
Yeah.
I saw your high school football pictures.
Oh, yeah.
You were stacked.
60 pounds ago, buddy.
Yeah.
Man, you know, growing up, you know, in a small town country, you know, you didn't have access to, you know, like McDonald's or good food. You just ate what you had, cooked every night out in the garden, you know, and I play sports all the time, you know, and all that stuff. And when I got out of that, I was like, oh, I can have sushi tonight. I can have KFC every night. Like, by God. But, hey, I call it a good living, though.
Yeah, my mom sucked at cooking. We had that. We, like, we ate trash.
My mom's the best cook. She always cooked for everybody in the neighborhoods. And still, when I go visit her, she's like, what you want? Give me a menu. Tell me what you want. And she'll make my favorite stuff, you know, whether it's the fried pork chops with the stewed tomatoes over rice with the cabbage and the cornbread or whatever. She make, you know, salmon patties. But, I grew up in that kind of
family.
That's
my favorite thing. Oh, let me tell you, I don't care how much money I make in this life. Mm-mm. Salmon patties and chicken and dumplings will always be my favorite meal.
Damn. Oh, dude, I love it. I love it.
Hey, Walker, do y'all have that in Mississippi?
Mm-mm. I've never heard of
that. Salmon patties?
No.
I've never had a salmon patty?
Yeah.
No.
You got your phone right there? I need you.
I mean, I've had, like, I've heard of them, but
I've
never.
You just get the can of the
pink,
salmon
can.
Yeah.
Are you saying salmon patties and dumplings or salmon patties and chicken and dumplings?
No.
Most.
So you can, I love chicken and dumplings separately salmon patties.
Okay, I got you.
But you also can just get, like, a regular thing of dumplings.
Oh, okay. I've had salmon patties. So you're saying salmon patties and dumplings.
Yeah, my grandma used to make, so my dad was he works at a nuclear facility full-time, but he was a volunteer firefighter. Like a lot of my content, I do a little stuff on it. But he was also a volunteer. He worked on the police force, and he would always swing by my grandma's on a shift working police to eat the salmon patties my grandma made. So I love salmon patties, man. Good
man,
stuff.
That's one of those things that I don't care. That'll always be one of my favorite food, and laced cornbread. There's stuff that I eat that is so bad for me. Once in a while that I just have to have.
Yeah, I know, man.
It might be the death of me, but I just have to have some of that shit.
We all got to die some way, right?
Man, if it's got to be country cooking, it's got to be country cooking.
I love it, man. I remember when I had COVID, man, I couldn't taste nothing, and I was, like, depressed. I remember I would watch YouTube videos on food, and I would order it or make food and eat it, you know, but I couldn't taste it, so I didn't get the satisfaction. So I was watching YouTube videos like country cooking and stuff like that. I love it. It's part of my happiness. It's my upbringing. You know, everything I do, I'm a very nostalgic person, whether it's the way I dress or my mannerisms, I guess. You know, I know
love
a lot
the
of
way
people.
You dress, by the way.
Hey,
one of my favorite things about you.
Man, I don't know. I don't know if it's. I try to explain it and figure it out because I like to analyze things. I think it's what it is growing up in a small town and moving away to a city, you kind of grasp onto your roots a little bit more, I think. And I think it brought out, you know, just a southern small town country that I missed a lot. And I think it just kind of bled out of me, whether it's the way I dress or my humor. Because, for example, I remember living in a city. And, you know, people wouldn't pull over for the funeral. Or, like, somebody was broke down on the side of the road and everybody's beeping the horn. I'd get out and I help push them out the road. Yeah. It was just a little mannerism and things I missed about being in a small town in the South. And I think just over time it bled out of me. And then when I got my social media coming, I just kind of – it just was something that was weighed heavy on me. But I have a sense of humor and I like to make things funny. And I just put myself out there. And I think that's kind of where I'm sitting on the couch with you right now.
Well, see, I have a theory behind the way you dress and me.
Okay.
So, and it's about Nashville and all of us, like all of my friends and everything. Yeah. So growing up, I used to wear what I thought was popular, not what I wanted to wear.
For sure. Right?
So when I started coming to Nashville all the time, and I started seeing how everybody that was comfortable with themselves, how they dressed.
Yes.
So like I started realizing nobody up here really gives a shit to wear, like when I would go out in Macon, or I would go out in my, in like, yeah, in close areas.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody dresses exactly the same.
Exactly the same.
Exactly the same. Like, everybody's got the same fucking polos.
It's
on,
like whatever the new polo is or the new,
But when you come up here, like, and most folks would think it was the opposite, right?
Creative,
like,
minds and stuff. Yeah.
So, like, everybody up here is a creative person.
Yes.
And they're not trying to fit in.
No, not at
all.
They're
trying to be an individual standing out because that's the only way you get noticed.
Yep.
So when I started figuring out that the way that everybody dresses, even if you just look homeless, Even if you look like you don't give a shit, yeah. That's your identity. Yeah. Like, that's who you want to be. That's what, if Nashville has not gave me anything else, it taught me how to be me. And like, Walker.
For sure.
And all the rest of my buddies, too. Like, Walker dresses like a fucking asshole, but that's Walker.
Yeah.
Yeah, playing
now that is true. It's kind of like, you know, you dress like that from the country. No, that's not
I
true.
I think that's you.
Because people, it's just me. It's what I like. I've always been a creative. I've always been into fashion. I remember even in school, like, of course, you know, like in small towns, it's like when the 2000s was around, people in small towns were still dressing like the 90s.
Yeah.
And, you know, because you catch on to fashion trends late. But I've always, you know, even since high school, I've always, even when I was little, I like to play, people can say, joke around, say, oh, you're playing dress up. Hell. So maybe be it, whatever. I like to, what Deion Prime say? Like, you look how you feel. I remember playing sports growing up, man. I always wanted to have, like, the wristbands, the jersey looking right. I wanted to look good, you know,
dude,
or look a certain way.
And
I'm like, did I love playing sports that much, or did I like just putting on a show in front of fans? I was like, I don't know.
Did you like playing the part?
I like the girls. I like to be the popular, and I was good at it. But, yeah, I think there's so many reasons why a person the way they are. And
well, there's something weird about when you go a place and people look at you as if you're somebody, whether you are or not.
Yeah.
But you stand out. If everybody else looks exactly the same,
yeah,
and you look like the person you want to be and you're getting acknowledged
for
being the person that you want to be, whether you're somebody or not, they're like, oh, that guy stands out.
Yeah.
I like that.
Have you seen that movie Midnight Cowboy?
Not Cowbell, I think so.
It's got the coach from Varsity Blues in it. Can't think of his name. Hey.
Oh, John Voight.
Yeah, John Voight. So he's in New York City, and he's dressed like a cowboy. And his buddy's like, you look like an idiot. But he's like, man, I like the way I dress. It makes me feel good. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I would used to never wear a cowboy hat. I'm telling him, I would never, ever put one on. And then I finally said, fuck it. I want to wear one.
Hell yeah.
And it took like one night of me wearing one, getting a couple compliments. And then I was like, why the fuck had I been wearing a cowboy hat my whole life? It's not because of the compliments. I wanted to wear one.
I will say this.
I felt so insecure wearing one, and then people made me feel okay about it. And I was like, I should have been doing that shit the whole time.
Yeah. I will say this, though. No, and I agree with you 100%. But ever since the show Yellowstone came out, I feel like everybody wears a cowboy hat now, so I kind of don't even wear mine as much anymore.
I mean,
it ain't really that, but no. I got there's a guy on my Instagram, Red Hats. I can't remember what his name is on there, but anyways, I have a 1980-something, I can't even think of the damn brand of it, what it is right now. Thanks for the Budweiser. Ooh, you shot me.
Court Taylor. This is Ori, former cowboy.
Hey, nice
That's
to meet you.
That's one of our family members right
but
here.
But no, man, when you wear a cow, hey, it's like, you know, a lot of people say, oh, you look like an urban cowboy or something like that. Man, I thought that was cool back then. And, you know, one thing I realized is as I gotten older is you're talking about like in small towns or places where people aren't really original and be themselves. They just want to fit in, you know, like they just wear what's popular. Basically, what I think about it is that damn, what was I going?
Say yes. Them Budweiser's are a bitch.
I think it's back to authenticity.
This is what I was saying. What I was saying is trends and fashions change as you get older. And you're going to keep – and some people keep up with it. They want the new Honda Accord, the new Suburban. They want the new – this is the new camo. This is the new polo that's out. I was like, I'm not playing that game. I remember when I was a kid, like there was a guy down the street. He dressed like he was from the 80s. He didn't change his style from the time I was 3 years old, 13. And I was like, this loser, this guy's weird. And I got older, I was like, I respect that guy. He found what he likes and who he is, and I have more respect for him. And I think I got to a point where I was like, all right, this is the style I like. This is what I'm going to wear, and this is who I am, and this is what I like. I'm not going to keep on keeping up with the Joneses, buying what's popular and new. I never cared about fitting in. Hell, I drive a 78 Ford pickup truck because that's what I like.
I think with you driving that truck or the way you dress or the way that I dress, I don't think it's Yellowstone. I don't think it's cowboy.
Yeah.
I think what we like is 70s, 80s country music.
Yeah.
I think we're stuck in that mindset. Because I know I am.
Yeah, oh, dude.
I want
to Sometimes to a fault. Yeah. It, the drinking can take its toll when you live that lifestyle, baby.
Fucking insane. I have to get, and I've said this is so many, we've had Georgette Jones on the show. Awesome. Jesse Whitley on the show, Johnny Paycheck's son on the show.
Holy shit.
And all you hear from them is like the stuff that I've idolized like their parents for. It's the stuff that like they have problems with their parents for.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
So the bad thing about that is like I still think some of that outlaw shit is the coolest shit ever. We all like yeah. I love it. But I'm stuck in that mindset.
No, that's for sure. And I will tell you, going back on like the persona I've created or, you know, who people see me as online, you know, it's hard to go out sometimes because, you know, of course, you know, when we were growing up, it was athletes and actors on TV. But now, you know, social media, you know, people on their phone so much. So people they see online that pop up on their phone a lot, maybe like you or me, you know, they see you in person, they want a picture or whatever, but I always want to buy you a shot. So everybody sees my content. Like, no, I'm not banging everybody's stepmom at the VFW every night. But you got to be careful because, like, going out, everybody wants to buy you a shot and stuff. So it's tough to live that outlaw image for fun. But in real life, man, you got to, like, really – it can take its toll.
Have you learned to say no yet? You got to.
I'll tell you what. Yesterday was one of the first times I said no. Thanks to Michael. Thanks, baby. We Michael is grabbing date, and she's kind of getting me a little bit more healthy and stuff. But anyways, but I walked in the bar yesterday. I went to order some food, and the bartender came up. She was like, "Hey, this guy at the end of the bar said he used to be a fullback. Your first drink is on him." Then I went over there and shook his hand, take a picture. Other guy walked up, "Hey, can I get a picture too? Hey, can I buy you what you're drinking?" That's how it starts, man. This is 12 o'clock today. I'll be hammered drunk by 3 p.m. Yeah. It's tough, man, to say
hey,
no.
Look, I will tell you this. When we started doing our shows up here in Nashville 2.5 years ago,
yeah.
We had to start at 11 o'clock in the morning, and we would do a four-hour slot at Live Oak, right? We would do 11 to 2. If you haven't been to a show in Nashville, whether it's Walker, Court, whoever played, 11 to 2 is the worst time you can play anything in Nashville. It is nobody.
That's a fact.
Yeah, it's horrible, right?
Yeah.
There's nobody there.
Everybody's drinking.
So what we would do is we'd fucking drink. Like from 11 to 2. Your day's ruined if you start doing that, right?
Yeah, you wasted.
But, I mean, there is some beauty in it because you can start at 11 and then, like, get you some, like, late lunch. And
oh, there's a beauty in it. Of course there is. But not every damn day, every week, you know, for sure.
But what would happen was we start drinking that early, and I would say yes to everybody because I thought it was a privilege to be doing it in Nashville, 100%. Right? And it was. I'm not still to this day.
And you're the man, Josh Terry. You can drink them.
Yeah, and that's what I would think, right?
You're the man.
That's exactly what I used to think. Yeah. And now I'm 37, 2 years later, and I'm dealing with stomach issues.
Yeah.
That's like severe stomach issues and had to almost damn cut off. Like, I can't drink beer anymore now.
Yeah.
Like, I can't drink hard liquor the way I used to. Like, two of my friends in here know that, like, Buffalo Trace and Sprite yeah. is my fucking drink, and I ain't had whiskey in 4 months now.
Whiskey'll do it, man.
I can't fucking do it.
I've cut back. Like I said, I've always been a weekend warrior. Even when I used to work, I would always say, you know, I mean, sometimes I get cabin fever on Tuesday and Wednesday, and I go out, but I try to have a rule for myself not to drink during the week. That's the time where I get my rest, my sleep. I travel a lot on the weekend city, so when I'm at home. That's why I don't like living in a city around a lot of people anymore. I like to have my privacy. I like to, you know, I get my creative zone when I'm by myself. I can think of stuff and be myself and be grounded. And I don't really drink during then. I don't drink at home. I don't keep booze at home. I'm a social drinker. So, and I've always been that way since I was young. You know, I love to, sometimes I like to be the life of the party or whatever, but I like to socialize and drink on the weekends. But during the week, I know a lot of people watching this might be like, oh, you puss, but. Man, if you want to live a long time, you were saying you got a daughter, man. You want to live a long time,
well,
man.
And also, too, man, it takes the fun out of it when you do it all the time.
Yeah.
Like, I started looking for reasons to drink. I'm serious. Like, when
hell, you got to do is talk to George Jones song,
well,
buddy.
That, yeah, and that is kind of a fucking problem. Like, so I got so bad with it, and I didn't realize it. And I don't think I was ever an alcoholic. I think I was probably borderline a couple times.
Yeah.
But, like, I started looking for a reason to drink. Like, it was a Tuesday. I'm bored as shit, so what am I going to do?
Doing what we do, yeah, like, this is your job kind of. Because
it would then roll
industry into,
hey, I got to be creative. I have nothing to do.
Yeah.
I have some money. Let's go to a bar. Let's just see if I can find something.
For
now,
sure, man.
Now it's like, man, there's nothing special about going out. Like, let's just save it. Let's wait.
Dude.
Let's wait until there's a moment. So, like, tonight. This will be cool tonight. Like, all of us going and doing shit
for
tonight.
Sure.
and then on Wednesday for the show. Yeah. That'll be fucking great.
Oh, yeah,
that'll
tomorrow's cool. supposed to be raining. I'm going to lay in bed all.
Yeah, like, and that'll be fine. But, like, you have to learn to say no because also, too,
yeah.
these people that buy stuff and everything, whether it's the artists that are our friends or whatever, yeah. these people don't have to do the shit that you got to do tomorrow. They ain't got to yeah. sing.
No.
They ain't got to be Walker Cord or anybody in here. They got to be me and you and do yeah. content or do podcasts.
I tell you what, it's rough, though, because, see, I'm such a social being.
Yeah.
As much as I like my peace and I get creative when I'm by myself, man, I have to go down to the gas station or the diner down the street or the antique store or the grocery store and just mingle with people because I'm a social person and I can't just sit at home by myself. Like, I'm not married. I don't have kids. Yeah. I just can't sit at home by myself. That's not who I am as a person. And socializing involves a lot of drinking a lot of times.
I'm learning that because I'm the same way. I'm really learning.
Well, bro, just FaceTime me.
Fuck it, let's do it. Let's start doing like online checkers.
Yeah, right.
Or something.
Dude, I think that's what social media, I mean, where I can, it does give you, but it's not, social media isn't
it's a
real.
Crutch.
It's not human. It's not real human interaction. So, like, I love to go to the, like I said, a local diner or whatever and just find somebody to talk to. Like, I have an old neighbor down the street. He's Marcus Hall 74. Danny, if you're watching this. Man, I'll go sit on the porch with him sometimes and just, he'll tell me about the good old days and, you know, bitch about his wife or what have you. You know, I'm a social person. I'll go visit my grandma in a nursing, not nursing home. She's in a old folks home. It's kind of like a country club, actually.
Yeah.
But I try to spend my time and, you know, bringing positive vibes to people because I have to be social. Yeah. I'm a social being. But it's tough being in the entertainment industry where you don't work a traditional 9-to-5 anymore and you have all this free time and maybe extra money and you can go to a bar whenever you want, man. It's hard. I like discipline. I'll tell you that right now.
I'm learning it. I've done very well. I didn't have it until I still don't have it.
We're getting a little bit.
I'm getting better about it, but I very much had none until probably like last July. And then I really started trying to work on it. Now I've got a whole lot better about sitting at the house.
Yeah. I think it just takes like one really, really bad hangover to do that to you.
I don't think it's that because I've had some fucking doozies. Yeah. I think it takes a goal. I don't know what your goal is, but I think what mine is,
there you go.
I think my goal really turned into I wanted a better life. I wanted to pay off debt. I want a house. Like, I really had to figure out what my idea of success was. And when I got it in my head, like, my idea of success, I want a home and I want land.
Yes,
I want something that nobody in my family has had.
Yeah.
And it's not fame. It ain't fortune. It's I want something that nobody else has had. And when I got it, and I was like, damn, what do I have to do to get this? I got to do X, Y, and Z to get here. But I have to do all these things to get here. And if I don't do these things, I'll never have this. All of a sudden, staying home, it got simpler. Because then I could justify me not going to a bar because it was like, look, you know you got to pay off this medical bill.
Yeah.
And you know it's going to be a whole lot easier.
Yeah.
You're not having a $300 bar tab this week.
Exactly.
And now you can pay off this fucking lien.
But I got a question for you. Talking about that and doing stuff. And I think all whether you're a comedian or whatever in the entertainment business, you get to that point where you're talking about like when you're living that lifestyle, you're kind of just coasting. And you're getting by, but you have these bigger goals. But do you ever feel, because sometimes I get this way, I won't have a lot going on for maybe a month or so. And I'm like, not that I think, oh, nobody cares anymore. I'm a loser. I got to go back to, you know, I got to go flip burgers or something. You'll have these lows and then boom, so many good things. I tell you what happened. When I start living my life right, I swear, I ain't trying to get religious on you, man. But whenever I'm,
religion.
It ain't about necessarily being sober, but it's about living your life right and doing better. I'll have, like, all these good things start happening to me, and I want to keep doing that. Dude, it's like, oh, I get this deal done, that, and, oh, I just got a movie audition for that, boom, boom. But then when I start going down that hole, and when I like this, when it's like, all shit goes to shit, I'm like, this shit sucks. I go back to work. I'm not making no money.
Somebody explained it to me not long ago that it's funny how stuff happens to you in the right way when you're doing things the right
dude,
way.
When you're in God's grace, like, I swear to God, dude.
Like if you're
crazy.
Like it's
that's
easy.
A fact.
Yeah, that's like,
dude, I'm telling you.
And if you're going against the grain and bad shit's happening, it's because you're going against the grain.
I swear, man. Yeah. I swear.
We're stupid. All of us are. We're animals.
I'm a dumbass. I'll tell you that right now.
If you're doing things the right way in life,
yeah,
good things are going to happen. Everybody wants to like make it a moral thing. It's not a moral thing. It's if you're not doing dumb shit's not going to happen to you.
You're right.
If you are doing stuff the correct way, if you're being a good person, then there's no way that bad things are going to happen to you. All right, I'll put it this way. Last night I got a speeding ticket on the way here. If I would not have been speeding, would I have got a speeding ticket?
No.
If I would have been driving the speed limit, nothing bad would have happened to me.
Nope.
That's all you need to know. If you're doing stuff the right way, you're fine.
Yeah. No, I definitely, and everybody says anything in moderation, whether it's the way you eat, the way, you know, you get dopamine from social media or the way, you socialize and drink and stuff. If I live life with moderation, I have a great time, but I'm so susceptible to just falling in fun. Ever since I was a kid, man, my mom always told me, there's pictures of me online and my mama took of me where I'm falling asleep in my food. She said, Ori, you were the hardest player I've ever met. She said, you would gobble down your food in 10 seconds just because you could play for 5 more minutes.
Yeah.
And I still live my life that way. I just want to play, you know?
I get that so much. But there's just so many consequences that we don't get it till we get it.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Once you get it and you kind of slow down,
yeah,
it's okay. But also, too, you got to think, if you are speeding up, we'll just use your example right here, you're literally missing the meal.
That's some deep shit right there, boy.
Yes, sir.
You know what I was thinking? Damn, that's so funny. I was thinking of that movie Click with Adam Sandler where he fast forwards his life.
Yeah.
So I'm here with the girl I've been dating, Michael, and we went to Daytona 500, and I was like, what's our next trip? And I was here in Nashville, and I was thinking, I was like, what's our next? I was like, oh, Ori.
You're like, still at Daytona 500.
Well, you know, I need to enjoy where we're at. Like, we're in Nashville. We're having a good time. And she said before we got here, she was like, honey, she said, we're going to enjoy ourselves. We're going to have a good time. We're going to go out to drink, have a good time. She was like, we're going to enjoy ourselves. And I was like, yeah, I don't need to worry. I'm always thinking about the next thing. Like, all right, I did this. I got this deal locked down or whatever have you. Or, okay, we're in Nashville. I'm doing this. What's next? I need to learn to enjoy and slow down a little bit. I do need to work on that and just living in the moment more.
Well, you have to. I mean, and it's cliche as hell, but you don't even know if you're going to get that next moment.
Damn, bro. We on some deep shit right now. I think somebody was playing Keith Whitley in the background. It's done turned our whole brain chemistry off.
Hey, well, look, before y'all get too deep, I do got to ask. You at the Daytona 500?
Yeah.
At the NASCAR? Who's your driver?
So, you know what? I will say this, man, and I'm sure Josh Cherry can relate to me a lot. Like, in country music, you know, you like a lot of country artists, and no matter what, if you meet them in person or don't matter. You still root for them. But when you meet somebody in person, whether you like them or you don't, if you like them a lot, you root for them.
You root for them, man. You're not about to say Kyle Busch. I know you're not about to say
I will say this.
Listen.
Drive the hell but listen, let me tell you something. There's a lot of people who put on personas that, oh, that guy's an asshole. And there's some people who put on personas, oh, he's such a nice guy, and it's completely the opposite sometimes.
Right.
But you got to think, those guys are celebrities, they're NASCAR drivers, they have to build up walls for certain people. They're accessible. They're so busy. They have their families. And after I've gained some kind of fame, I've realized that. Even though I try to be friendly to everybody I come across, everybody's not like me. I get that. A lot of those guys, you know, they're just there to race, make a living. They love doing it, but they have their family to tend to. That's their real life.
I mean, they're locked in.
They're locked in. Yeah, so, like, if they don't know who Cornbread Cowboys, I don't hold grudge to that. Like, hey, how you doing, buddy? Whatever. That's fine. It's not like that. But there have been some drivers that I've met who I really took a liking to because I thought they were cool to me, whatever. And that's just how it is. And so, but it's kind of like being a kid. You know, my favorite, you know, baseball player, Ken Griffey Jr. When you become older, you don't really have a favorite athlete anymore. There's certain guys you root for or less. But I'll tell you,
Is Kyle Busch one of yours?
I definitely root for him, man. I remember
drive the hell out of race.
Gave him a little fist bump. He seemed pretty cool. No, but there's a lot of drivers I do like and dislike. I'm not going to mention any names. Like I said, we're all grown men here. I don't want to hate on another grown man, but there's some. Yeah, if I do another shot.
All right, I guess so my question is then, what Ryan Blaney, what do you think about him?
Oh, Ryan Blaney. Ha, shout out to Ryan Blaney. Hey, shout out my buddy.
Shout out to Ryan Blaney.
Shout out my buddy Steve Price. So one of my good friends.
I'm pissing when y'all talk about NASCAR because I don't watch it.
Yeah. Dude, I'll so one of my good friends.
I got you, man.
Yeah, he works for Ryan Priest. He did work for the 6 car for Brad Keselowski, but he's a good friend of mine. I've gotten to meet a lot of people in NASCAR stuff. They're all good dudes, man. I don't gotta say anything bad about it. But there are some you favor more because you meet him and stuff. Ryan Blaney's freaking awesome, though.
Dude, he's been so... my hair's obviously long back here.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
So whenever my hair is like let down, it's a real curly kind of like yours is, but my buddy sent me a picture of Ryan Blaney probably like 4 years ago.
Really?
He goes, hey, man, you kind of look like this guy.
I've never like hung out, went golfing with him or anything, but you know, everybody's like, oh, did you meet? I met him, you know, for a couple minutes. I mean, he's like a really good guy.
Yeah, he's
and I definitely root for him. Kyle, but, you know, I've been drinking
about
a little
bit.
Chase Elliott, I've said hey to him. I've never met him, like on a personal level or anything, but he comes from a good pedigree. A lot of people root for him. He's a good driver to root for.
He's the people's driver now, in my opinion.
Really over Ryan Blaney?
I mean, now.
How about
Blaney?
Kyle Larson, though? So Kyle Larson, if I had to root for, if you had asked me who my favorite driver to root for, I'd probably say Kyle Larson.
Hell yeah.
Because he races in like, he does like everything and he does well at it. But I got to give a shout out to my boy Austin Dillon, drives a 3 car.
Come on.
Hey, he's cool as I love Austin Dillon. He actually invited me to the Daytona 500 the year before last and, and we got to hang out with him. He's a cool guy. So I always root for Austin Dillon as well. I got to piss like a racehorse.
Well, pause it so you can piss. I like Mario Kart.
No, I like that's the shit that people like, fucker.
So you, let me make sure we're going good. All right, so you touched on your granddad had a garden. Is that what you said? Did you say your granddad grew a garden growing up or did your dad grew?
Were we talking about that?
You were talking about it earlier. You were saying you grew up and they had a garden and cooked all kind of different things. What I was telling Josh when you were pissing, I was saying like my dad and my parents had a garden growing up and like that influenced.
Yeah, let's talk about that. Let's go.
Yeah, for sure.
Let's go.
Do that.
What was the question, Walker?
The question.
You asked me how I was like growing up.
The question I had was like, what was that influence like growing up? Like,
how about you asked me how it was like growing up?
He just asked you.
Oh, we're rolling live?
Yeah, we've been live.
Ladies and gentlemen, this part of the show is brought to you by alcoholism.
Yeah.
We're all fucked right now.
All right, so.
Nah.
But no, we were talking earlier about, you know, my grandpa. So I remember growing up, my grandpa, he was the president of a hunting club. And I think it was my grandma who said it. She was like, y'all wouldn't have made it through your childhood without my grandpa supplying us with deer meat. I swear, we ate cube steak almost
still
every,
my favorite thing,
every other damn night. We ate cube steak, deer meat with my grandpa. And I was lucky to grow up in a good neighborhood and had a lot of friends my age. And we always played outside, played sports, which got me into sports a lot. But I remember, like it was yesterday, you know, my mom, she'd be cooking cube, you know, run down to your Uncle Bo's down the street. You know, he had a garden, you know, whether it was tomatoes, corn, cucumbers, whatever it was, you know, to grab something. Bring it home, or you know, we go to our grandparents' house and they send us home with some tomatoes or corn or whatever, cabbage, you know, whatever have you. You know, that's just how we ate growing up. You know, it was special to have like fast food. I remember like on the way to the beach, we would stop and have like McDonald's. I remember the sausage burritos, I'd kill them. But you know, we never were exposed. I mean, we would go out to the movies and stuff on the weekends sometimes and we'd go out to eat like Applebee's or something, but it was a special occasion. We always ate homegrown food. You know, my grandpa always had this thing, you know, don't eat, you know, you know, don't, you know, kill, you know, eat what you kill, pretty much, you know.
Yeah.
And that's kind of how I grew up, man. Of course, I've got away from that a little as I got older, but the older I get, the more I go back. That's why, you know, I've lived in, you know, Houston, Tampa, Charleston. I lived in cities and stuff, but moving back to my hometown out in the country is been nice. Brings me a lot of peace. And
let me ask something, because I think you're going to be the same way. Because I think this is what I do, and I don't realize I do it. How much? My grandpa is my favorite person.
Oh, he was man. Like, I got a tattoo of him.
Yeah, him and my ma and my ninny were like my favorites, right? Yeah. And I think they just stood for everything that I believe in, right?
100%.
And I think a lot of the way I act and a lot of the things that I stand for come from them. It's a lot of subconscious, right? Like a lot of that stuff. Do you think the way that you act, the way that you project, the way that you like put yourself out there is like you keeping them alive?
I'll tell you like this, man. Putting it forward. That's funny you mention that. My grandma's neighbors, Big Joey, he's been a couple of my videos. They taught me how to swim and stuff. Every time I go over there to visit him, when I go back home, whenever I'm riding through where I grew up at or near my grandparents' house, she's always like, "You look just like your grandpa."
Yeah.
You know, you remind me of your grandpa. But sure, my grandpa, man, he was a storyteller. Everybody in the community knew him. You know, when we go out to eat, you know, he always, you know, was friendly with the waitress. He'd slide her a $5. Back then, he'd slide her a $5 bill before the meal. But he was always a storyteller. If he went anywhere, you know, whether it was, you know, no matter where it was, he'd ask the person, you know, "Hey, where are you from?" "Oh, I know this person. I'm the same way. I'll meet somebody." It's just like the girl over there. "Oh, where are you from?" "Oh, I think I know this person." I've always tried to relate to people for a story to tell. And that's just how I am, whether it's bringing joy to myself or them. But I'm a lot like my grandpa, and just I love the simple life. I love people. I believe in community. I believe that's why I like to support small businesses. I don't like to shop at corporate or stuff. I like to support local small business communities. I like to be active in my community. I think I took a lot of that from my grandpa, man, you know?
Yeah, see, I love the fact that, like with our grandparents, they found stuff that they stood for and they didn't waver.
No, 100%, man. That's how I am.
And it's like, there's just a lot of shit that I don't waver on. And I don't think there's enough of that left. I think there's too many people that just let the rest of the world influence them.
Well, it's kind of like we were talking earlier with style and fashion. Trends and stuff change. What people stand for changes. What people's pedigree or creed changes. And you know what? People can knock me for it. I've heard people knock me for it before, you know. They're like, "Oh, well, you know, those were racist times." No, they wouldn't. My grandpa treated every damn body with damn respect.
My grandpa hated everybody equally, goddamn.
Yeah, that's, yeah. Like, yeah, he hated everybody equally.
He didn't care who you was. He didn't fucking like nobody. Yeah. I don't want to hear that shit.
But you know what, people, I mean, I think they were more happier back then. Like, I think those were good times, man. And, like, I keep that same, you know, I mean, of course, I'm a very open-minded person. I love everybody, but I definitely keep a lot of standards and a way of life that was instilled in me from my childhood, from my upbringing. And I think a lot of people don't have that. I mean, a lot of people might have different views than me, but and some of those people, they didn't have their grandparents. I meet so many people like, "I didn't know my grandparents," or "I didn't have that." You know, okay, well, consider myself privileged or fortunate, whatever you want to call it. I was raised, I think, the right way. In a southern family home in a southern town, and we looked out for each other, and we cared about each other, and we did what was right. And you know what? If you didn't grow up like me, so be it. But guess what? I'm going to stand for what I believe in, damn it.
I think you ought to be able to. It doesn't matter if the rest of the world deems what you just said right or wrong.
Exactly.
You ought to be able to stand for what you think is right.
Damn.
But also, too, if somebody was to walk up to you and say that the way that they were raised was right, same thing.
Hey, and I treat everybody with kindness and politeness, whether I might not agree with everything you say or do. I'm going to still be polite and kind to you because I believe that's the way you should be.
Me and my daughter have a rule.
What's that?
And we literally had to go over this shit this weekend. I've said this to her for the past several years, is you ain't got to be the best athlete. You ain't got to be the smartest kid in school. You ain't got to be the prettiest, but you have to have fucking manners.
There you go.
You have to. That's the only thing that you can have, that everybody can have. Like, you can't have an even playing field when it comes to sports. You can't have an even playing field when it comes to smarts or even, like, appearance. But everybody can say yes, sir, no, sir. Everybody can say yes, ma'am, no, ma'am.
I say,
you can all be polite. That no, you don't have to be wealthy to be polite. You ain't got to be poor to be polite. Everybody can be polite. And there's just not a lot of people that push that anymore.
No, man. I've worked with people, and I've been around people. It's like I say yes, sir. They're like, dude, I'm like 10 years younger than you. I'm like, hey, man, it's just it's a respect thing. Wow. I was like, it's just the way I was raised. Like, I'll say yes, sir, yes, ma'am, please, thank you. And I believe that mindset, I believe it travels into all different parts of how you treat people and how you live your life.
Well, it shows your character, too.
I agree.
Yeah, like,
but everybody wasn't raised like me and you.
Yeah. You know? Well, there wasn't, and I used to feel bad for people that wasn't raised like us.
I mean, but I still do. I mean, I
used to, but also too, if everybody, I like the fact that a lot of people wasn't raised like us now, because growth comes from being around different people.
For sure.
Like you have to see different parts of life.
Man,
there's a lot of shit that now at 37 that I've got to experience from being around different walks of life, that if I wouldn't have been around different life or different types of people, I would have never. There's some shit that's wrong.
We're stubborn assholes.
Yeah,
too.
At 12 years old, I would have been like, "Oh, that's fucking cool," and now I'm like, "What the fuck was I doing?"
Yeah, no, 100%.
Yeah, it's like I'm a fucking asshole at 12 years old. Right. And now it's like, oh, I probably shouldn't have done that.
Yeah. Oh man, we all. I think I was saying something the other day. I posted a story about when I was 18. I was fresh out of high school. You know, I thought I had the whole world in front of me, you know, Mr. Popular, this and all that. But you're in a small town. You think everybody grows up like you do. I move off to the big, you know, well, I don't know anybody. I get my first big boy job at 18 on a big construction site. And there's this guy who didn't have food the first day. I posted the other day, and it got a lot of comments and traffic. And I felt so I went off to college. I went to play football at a small school, and I had people steal from me, steal money from me. And it really made me bitter towards people. You know, on the outside, you know, it was a big culture shock for me. And on my first job, there was this guy who didn't have nothing to eat on the first day of job, but he was just like me. He was 18, young, didn't know any better. He probably came from, like, we didn't raise. He didn't have a support of somebody slip a $20, hey, buy yourself lunch. Congratulations on your first big boy job. He didn't have nothing to eat that day. I said, no, you're not getting none of my food.
Yeah.
He asked for it. And I was like, that night, man, I couldn't sleep, dude. I felt so terrible myself. Because even though I have been done wrong, I don't want to let anybody else doing me wrong change who I am as a person. And I let it change me that moment. And I was like, you know what? The next time I see that guy, I'm going to let him know. If he's hungry, please let me know. I will feed him half my food. I'll give him half what I want.
And, yeah, but you can't feel bad about that, because stuff that gets normalized to you, once something is normalized to you, it's stuck. Like, there has to be something that breaks that normalization.
Yeah, I know. I'm just talking about in regards to, like, if I can help somebody out, I want to help them. Because I've been in a situation, man, where I've been at, dude, before I started doing this, I can eat steak every night if I want now.
Yeah.
Like, dude, there have been times, man, I was at the bottom of the bottom, dude.
Ramen noodles, baby.
Like, you know what I mean? Like,
I get it.
I've been at the bottom of the bottom. And I'm not saying everybody should work for what they have, but I feel like I hit the lottery for what I do now, and I feel very fortunate. And I think that's what keeps me, you know, you can say, use the words authentic or genuine or whatever, but, you know, if I got a damn something to eat, you got something to eat with me too, brother.
Well, that's how you'll last, though, is having that mentality.
Yeah.
I've said, even back in the days when I used to work in radio, I've always had this one saying, it's morals over money. If I can go to sleep every night, it's because I morally did the things right. Whenever I pick money over my morals, I can't get rest. I don't have peace. I'm not at rest.
Yeah, but Josh Terry, that's probably why we have a damn $300 bar tab, because we're buying everybody shots.
That's because I'm a dumbass.
Yeah, I know.
Hey, I'm a dumbass too. That's because I've got friends. Like Walker and John and Court and Brandon and everybody. Like, I have shitty friends. But also, their bar tabs suck just as bad as mine.
Man, I'll tell you this. I remember I went out to eat with somebody when I was younger. And they all sat and ate in front of me, and I'd have no money. And I was starving. I was with them all day long. I have nothing to eat. and they were all eating in front of me. It didn't offer to buy me nothing. I just sat there quiet. I didn't say nothing. I was like, I was hungry. And I was like, I will never, ever, ever let anybody feel the way I feel that day. And I've had a lot of moments like that in my life. Like, I could never be a millionaire because I give half my money away.
Well, you know
what
that is?
Just because I don't want nobody to ever feel like that.
You know what that is, though? So last year, when I went through this big change in my life, I listened to this sermon one day, and it was this preacher talking about everybody has to find out what their version of success is. Success doesn't always mean like it identifies with a bank account.
Yeah.
Success doesn't mean a house. It doesn't mean a number one song. It doesn't, it means what success means to you, right? So I've got a couple of buddies, and we had a long conversation one day on the podcast. I'm not going to call them out right now. But they grew up very poor.
Yeah.
And they had to be in a situation to where they had stuff given to them Christmas and all kind of stuff, right?
Yeah.
So for this person, success for them now is them giving back.
That's me.
They don't even care if they have anything. They like if their bank account is $10, but everyone that they care about has something, that's success to them to where somebody else is greedy. Not you can't even say greedy. Their version of success might be $1 million. And they might be happy, but this other person, they could be broke as shit, but if their friends are happy, and I think that's how people like me and you are.
Yeah.
Is I don't want to be broke.
I don't want to be broke.
I don't want to be broke.
As long as I can eat steak every night and do all my things.
I want to be content. But for me, what I have found out my success is, I can't be the only one in the room that's happy.
Yeah, man.
I have to have everyone that's around me.
Ain't it weird how some people can be that way, man?
Yeah, yeah. I want everyone around me to have their spirits lifted.
Yeah.
I want everyone around me to be at peace. I want everybody around me to be smiling. I want everybody around me to be encouraged.
Yeah. I agree with that. And even if I don't have what it takes to be great, because I feel like to be the greatest of the greatest, whether you're an athlete or whatever, you almost have to be an egotistical maniac, almost to a certain degree, to be the best of the best. Not always. And I don't have that in me. And if that doesn't make me reach my full potential, I'm fine with that. As long as I can provide, like you said, as long as I'm not the only one eating in the room, as long as I'm eating, that's success to me.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of people that get to that mountaintop and they're alone.
Dude, it's lonely enough. Hell, I feel like that now sometimes, and I ain't even at the top.
You know how lonely that sounds to me? I've spent my whole life not wanting to be alone. I want to be up there on my buddies.
Man.
That sounds fucking miserable to me.
Dude, I tell you, it can be that way sometimes, even now. Like, you know, I don't feel myself at the top of anything, but, you know, it's not like I can go to I can't just go to a bar right now and get shit hammered and hang out and play the jukebox. It's always like people come up to me like, you know, can I get a picture, making you feel more worthy than you are. I'm just a regular guy, you know, who just happened to get a lot of internet followers by being a dumbass pretty much. And the most I want to feel is normal. So that's probably why I like hanging around old people. They don't know about social media and stuff. You were talking earlier about Bill Murray Hill. That's probably why Joe Rogan probably loved it. You said that podcast one. I bet Joe Rogan loved
it. You could tell his face the whole time. This is what I loved about it. It was a shitty podcast to listen to.
Yeah, I bet he loved it, though.
But it was him watching his idol.
His idol, yeah.
He was so in love with the fact that he was sitting there with Bill Murray.
Wow.
He never gave a damn that Bill Murray had no idea who he was.
Yeah. Dude, favorite.
I loved every second of it.
My favorite hangs are when I go to a place where people don't know who the fuck I am or care about who I am, and I'm just sitting there having a good time because, I mean, I love everybody who follows me or likes what I do. Don't get me wrong with that at all, but that's great. But it kind of, I don't know, I'm just not built for that, man. I'm not built for that. You know, I just want to
treat normal. I like being with peers. I like being with people. But I like being with people that have common goals. So, like, that's why I like being in Nashville, though.
That's true, too. You do want to be.
Well, everybody here, too. You hadn't. When you figured this out, this is why you'll want to be here once a month or whenever you can. Because everybody in this room right now, I know there's only, like, five of us in this room right now. Everybody's a dreamer here. So, nobody really cares in the first place.
No, for sure. I don't give a shit who you are here.
Everybody's chasing something here.
Yeah, you're.
But also, too, regardless what anybody says. Everybody's almost equally as talented. So, sure. Like, everybody's got a story to tell. And all it takes is one time for that person to write that story the right way.
Yeah.
And everybody has a chance for success.
You're exactly right.
But the reason why I think that is, the only person that can ever tell their story is them. And if they tell it the right way, it's going to connect with a shit ton of people that's been through the same thing they've
been
through.
Yeah.
And if they tell it the right way, it's going to fucking
that's some real shit, Josh Terry. That's why I always like fuck. Can we say cussing on here?
I say,
oh, yeah, you're good.
That's why I like to fuck.
I say,
you, you're a real motherfucker. I like fucking with real people, man. I can smell bullshit a mile away from when I meet people.
Oh,
man.
I bullshit too. I just ain't doing it.
Well,
right
no,
now.
I'm a bullshitter too, but it's in a fun, not a condescending.
Playful
it's more of
way.
An enduring bullshit.
Playful.
Yeah.
Well, that's
like,
what
we're
I,
having
that's
fun.
That, just so you know, that's what I always liked about you too.
Yeah.
So if you're gonna kiss my ass, I can choose too.
Yeah, I'm full of shit. I'm full of shit myself. Right. I'm just, bro. We only got one life to live. We're gonna damn do what the hell we want to do and have a good time doing it. By God,
you got to do it your way.
Fucking.
What's great. That thing? I'd rather. I can't even remember the quote. But
I know. I'd rather be. I'd rather be hated for who I am than loved for who I'm not.
I think you said ham, but I get it.
Hey,
I'd rather
I like my cold cuts. I like my cold cuts.
You know what? That's how we're going to. But I just want to tell you, I know we got to hang out in December for that canned food drive that you did, which I love seeing
yes.
people do that kind
man,
of stuff.
Man, that's going back. If there's anything, matter of fact, whoever's watching this, I don't care if it's a Little League. I can't tell you how much money I gave Little League teams. Hell, some women probably took money from me to buy them a fucking dress for their daughter for prom. I probably got ripped off, but I'm such a giving person, man. I've always been that way. But if there's anybody on here that needs any kind of charity thing, man, I ain't talking about just give, but like just being a part of something like that that does good. I mean, you can it's good for your image, yeah, for sure. But I enjoy doing stuff like that, man, to give back. Matter of fact, I got a PlayStation 5. If anybody's watching this, I played it twice since I bought it. I don't want it. If there's any single mom out there who has a little kid that's struggling, if you want it, maybe I'll do a raffle or something.
Daddy.
I don't know. Or just hit. No, sure. I don't even. Dude, I bought a PlayStation 5. Why? I don't even play it. Like, some kid could be.
You bought it when NCAA took.
I did.
I bet you created Ori.
Dude, I did. I scored 17 touchdowns in like one game. And I don't play it no more. So if there's anybody, take that shit off my hands. And I'm not saying you got to be poor, but come on, don't be no. Listen. If you're not living off food stamps,
I'm not saying you got
to
be poor.
No, seriously. If you want my PlayStation 5 for your child, you at least got to show me proof of food stamps and that you're living like Section 8 or something. Like, no, because I feel like these days a lot of people with money, they rip off people and they get fucking free shit and they don't need it, dude. Like,
you
motherfucker, your kids wearing
me.
Jordans.
Nah, boy, I swear, yeah.
Like,
I promise you.
No, I'm talking about if you really struggle. Matter of fact, let's go on that.
Let's go on that.
But no.
Oh, yeah.
Because
I'm down.
But no, because when I was growing up, like, poor people was like poor. Like, they didn't have shit. They were like eating crayons.
I used to have to paint cockroaches
dude,
green to play
but these
with
days,
Ninja
I feel like even poor people got like
poor,
fucking PlayStations and Jordans. Like, do poor people even exist anymore?
Yes.
Like, okay, do poor people exist anymore to the point where I feel like I see poor people and they, like, have shit, though, nowadays?
I know
what I'm saying.
I know what you mean.
They at least drive a Kia.
I used to eat mayonnaise sandwiches. I'm telling you.
No,
they don't eat mayonnaise sandwiches no more.
Anyways, no, I just feel like with all the government programs available these days, even poor people have, like, access to shit that poor people back then didn't have.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like,
100% agree with you.
Like, I feel like if you're poor now, you should still have a VCR. But that don't happen. They all have fucking big screen TVs.
I hate that I agree with you so much right now, but you're right.
I mean,
you're making a very valid point.
No, seriously. I mean, I know there's some hillbilly Appalachians who just don't
the
have
wild. Have you ever seen the, what's
but
it
seriously,
called?
Dude.
The Wild Whites of West Virginia?
Yeah. I mean, they're poor, but they're like, they spend their money on drugs. I ain't talking about that. I'm talking about, like, actually, I'm hungry, and like they can't hardly talk English because they can't go to school. They're that poor. Like they're like, "Mama, hungry." Like you don't see poor people like that no more in America. I mean, am I wrong? Am I being like, I don't know.
I don't technically know if you're right either.
I don't know. Like, well, I'll say I've been to small town. I've seen a lot of poor people. I'm just saying, I feel like poor is different from where it was. We were going now. I feel like even poor people have access to stuff, whether through government program, which is a good thing. I'm not hating on it.
Kids used to have to work. Like, yeah, I get what you're saying.
I don't see, like, poor motherfuckers walking around barefoot. You know, they got, like, on Crocs at least.
Yeah.
You know, and you got to go at least go to the mall to get
well,
Crocs
they've
or
made dollar,
Walmart or something.
They got, like, a Dollar General on every corner now.
Dude!
They can at least go get, like, four pennies.
Well, they say they'll put a Dollar General up your ass if you let them. They're everywhere. Will. I drove to go see my grandma at her house. I passed, I think it was $9 Dollar Generals in 40 miles.
Yeah.
I hate it so much, man. It's like I love mom and pops.
You should run for Senate. I'd vote.
Dude, I am. You know what? I'm gonna bring back mom and pops.
Cornbread for mayor.
Yeah. I mean, listen, poor people, you don't have to walk barefoot. I will make sure
you get Crocs. America jiffy again. That should be your slogan, cornbread.
No, seriously though. Like, things have changed a lot, man, in the years. Like the society we live in, like I'm not saying what's poor is not poor now. Because I remember, like being back in the day, when you were broke, you were broke. Nowadays, it's like, oh, I don't have this much, I'm broke. And I know things cost more now, but, like, things have definitely changed, man.
No, like, I had to, like, I grew up, and I had to watch, like, my family sell everything they had at one point in time when shit got so bad. And now you're right. Like,
you don't see that
all
now.
Now you got to see, like, somebody go down to an office and sign up for a program, and you get to keep your shit.
It's like, these days, it's like, we got a big screen. We got, you know, we're wearing nice clothes. I don't know. You know, and I'm not trying to offend anybody. I'm sure that's not always the case. But it's definitely changed from when we were kids till now. Yeah. Like, what's considered poor.
And you know what's crazy? We're not even that old. You're 36. I'm 37.
I'm 38.
Oh, no, you older than me. Why did I think you was... Oh, we're 38. Both like shit.
I'm born in 86.
Now think about, like, and this is what's crazy. I was talking to somebody about this other day. Think about how, like, our dads and our grandpas used to say, "You don't know how lucky you've got it."
Brother.
They used to say that shit to us. And now we're talking about how these kids now don't know what poor is.
Oh, that's what I'm saying. They don't know.
When they used to be like, "We used to walk to school 10 miles in the snow and kick a can and shit for fun."
Yeah.
He's like, "You full of shit, Grandpa."
You know what?
And you're like, "This motherfucker really kicked a can and walked to snow."
We're getting older because when we were kids, we could at least probably get food if you were poor. But back in our grandparents' time, like, that was a struggle because, like, what it was, the guy said you had to watch the
really had to go
flowers
shoot that
on the
squirrel and cook it back then.
You had to watch the flowers on the floral wall to
have entertainment.
or something. Anyways, no, but you're right. We're getting older, and I'm starting to see it with a lot of things, whether it's music or like being poor. Like, things have changed so much, and now we're becoming the old grumpy men.
I am the old grumpy
like,
man.
Like, walking a mile to get to church. Now it's like, we used to have to Uber to get to damn school. Like, Uber? We didn't have Uber.
I bitch about that kind of shit.
Oh, we had to get Aunt.
I used to have to call a taxi.
We had to give Aunt Lisa, who lived down the street, who didn't have a job, who lived in the trailer, to pick you up on the way to school, to pick up Marcy.
Bitch,
you know
can
mean?
Send a text message. I had to use a payphone at 13. Fuck you.
Things were waiting.
I had to get together 7 quarters just to call a bitch for 30 seconds.
Man, I remember when I was coaching Little League football, there was these two boys on the team. They're twins. And I remember I will say this. This is a heartfelt story. There was a kid on the team, and his mother had passed away. And, you know, and he had no confidence at all. And anyways, I was on his ass all year, but I was, like, encouraging him. And he ended up being starting in the year, got most proof player. But there was these two guys on the team. Man, I took them home, dude. They lived in a trailer, opened up the door, roaches everywhere. Ever since that day, I take them home every day, buy them food, buy them Powerade, Snicker bars, whatever they want. But there's still poor people out there. I was joking earlier, but there is still poor people out there. And but it ain't like it was like when we was growing up, you know what I mean?
Jalen Hurts done won a Super Bowl since then. It's all because of you. Roll Tide.
Hey, go Cox. Shout out Shane Beamer.
What the fuck? All right, we're getting off here before Helen Killer.
Hold on, I got one more for y'all.
Okay.
This is your closing.
Well, I do want to get a shout out for you. My buddy Coach Jody Wright at Murray State. He's good friends with Riley Green. I still ain't been to the duck blind, but we got to go. But
he's right there.
Well, yeah, by God.
He's right there. Not Walker.
So my question is for both of y'all as your closing thing. If you could describe the best picture perfect dive bar with Cornbread going first. Ooh. Actually, no, Josh go first, and then we'll let Cornbread go second.
Yeah, you go first, bro.
And picture perfect dive bar. It doesn't matter what it is. Money's not a problem. Whatever it is, describe your most picture perfect dive bar that you could walk into right now.
All right.
Okay.
Go ahead, Josh.
Hipsters aren't allowed.
All right.
It's got to be a place that... All right. So y'all remember when, like, Losers was cool before, like, everybody from Broadway and shit started coming up there where, like, it was actually fun and shit to go to?
Be careful.
I don't care. Yeah. No, I'm saying it's still fun to go to. I love it. But it used to be... I love Losers. I still love going to it. But I'm saying it used to be... It was popular before it was popular. Does that make sense? It was popular before it was popular.
It was
right?
cool, and then it got not.
It was cool,
cool
it was before
cool
it was
again.
Cool.
Yeah,
it's always going to be cool, but it was cool before it was cool.
Yeah.
All right. So I would want it to be where the people that knew about it, that appreciated it, for it being what it was, right? That wanted to go in there and wanted to listen to Earl Thomas Conley and listen to George Jones and listen to Keith Whitley. And listen to Loretta Lynn and Tanya Tucker and all that kind of stuff. But also have artists come in there that wanted to play originals. And actually people listen to it and appreciate it. And folks that actually cared. Something that always bothers me about a bar is if you're going to sit there and you're going to ask for a song. I love the B-sides of albums like all my friends do. Don't just fucking ask. And I love Two Dozen Roses just as much as anybody else in this room. Don't just ask for Two Dozen Roses
that's
every
like singing,
single time.
That's like singing Garth Brooks' Friends in Low Places Don't Care.
I hate Friends in
I've
Low Places.
I've heard a million times. Don't fucking sing something else.
I would want a bar that people actually appreciated the art. That appreciated the person that was singing at the time. And appreciated the history of the art.
So that's your picture perfect dive bar is just the people. It's more the people than
it's
the
people
place.
Appreciating the artist that is playing at the time and the actual bar.
All right, word.
I'm about to bust that out of the fucking water, brother. I'm gonna tell you what I like.
Big booty bitches.
Hey, give it to us. Let's hear it.
No, I'm just kidding. But honestly, so my perfect dive bar, first of all, would be small as fuck. Brick building about the size of this damn kitchen living room here.
Red brick or yellow brick? Red brick or yellow brick?
Red brick. Damn red brick. Goddamn Brooks and Dunn, Red Dirt Road. And I want the damn bartender to be old as hell with big saggy titties. Her name needs to be like Nancy, Paula, Patty, some old school
Velma
name.
Sue
and she smokes. Because you know why you can smoke in the fucking bar?
I'm surprised you didn't say Mammy.
There's bags of chips hanging up and crackers. They got a damn crock pot with chili because all they sell is hot dogs besides that.
Oh, there's going to be a lot of crackers there.
And there's bait and tackle hanging up on the wall. You walk around that. That's the men's bathroom. And, the women's bathroom is on the other side of the pool table. There's two pool tables
in
there.
But it's men and women bathroom only.
There's a corner beside the jukebox, where entertainment if you want to play a song or two or whatever. And it's in the country, by the way. This ain't in the city. It's country folks. It's a guy who's been working at the factory, comes in there and drinks his happy hour. Because it's the people that makes the dive bar thing, too. So you got to have the right people. It's all the locals that come in there. There's two pole tables, like I said. And they got karaoke every damn Thursday night, Friday and Saturday. They sell canned beer. They sell canned beer
canned
in there.
Canned beer
by
only?
God.
No draft?
No fucking. Hey, you know what? Guess what? There's no liquor in my dive bar. You know why? Because you go outside to the pickup trucks out the cooler and you drink the liquor.
We're going to take him to Santa's Pub after
because,
this.
Hey, because, you know why? Hey, hey, I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to tell you why. Because your buddies that rolled up that been fishing all day, Sean Steele, shout out, they've been drinking. They got a cooler full of fucking liquor. and you go hit the liquor outside and you come back in.
You burn him one of the
$20 will buy you fucking all night drinking in there with them $1.50 can beers.
That's it.
That's the perfect dive bar for me.
What's the name of it?
Sam's Place.
Sam's Place.
You know the best bars ever? They're called like Ashley's, Sam's, Leon's. You know, they're never the cool name that all these people that went to marketing school for living that. We're going to call this Rooster Cock and Bull or something. It's always the motherfucker. It's kind of like the gas stations. They changed names, but we still call it what it used to be called. The best damn dive bars, it's been the same damn name for fucking 1962, and that's what you call it. Those are the best damn names and the best ones. That's all I got to say about it.
Hell yeah.
Also, a great bar is Live Oak, and this Wednesday,
Live Oak,
March
I love
the 5th,
it. Yeah.
Me and Cornbread will be hosting a round there,
yeah.
Raising Grace round, so y'all come out. We're going to have a great time. Cornbread, thank you.
Hey, brother, it's been a damn pleasure.
We'll have fun.
Yeah. The last 30, 45 minutes or so, I don't remember what all we talked about. But
you don't have
time.
To. It went well. Walker, thank you. Thank you for everybody hanging out with us. We're going to have a great time. Cornbread, seriously, I love you.
Love you,
You're
dude.
One of my favorite people to watch on social media. You're great at what you do, and I appreciate you coming and doing this with me.
Hey, brother. Likewise. Yeah. Let's get skinned.
Thank y'all for listening to the Josh Terry Podcast. We'll see y'all this Wednesday at Live Oak.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.